The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil.' He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him, and he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. I hope everybody's enjoying their last days of summer, even though it doesn't seem like it. But it is the last days of summer. I think fall starts on Tuesday, I think. Hope everybody's doing good. All right. So I've got a little reward for you today, but you got to find it first. Okay? And the question I have for you, first of all, is, and I'm going to have to watch both directions here, who is good at taking directions? Raise your hand. All right, there you go. All right, so you're going to come out here. All right, and you're going to stand right here. And I'm going to give you directions. And we're going to see if you can find our reward today. Okay? All right, so the first thing I'm going to have you do is turn completely around. Go over there and face the back doors. Very good. I want you to turn to your right now. Your right, which would be this side. Take two steps. Stop. Turn to your left now and face the doors. Face the doors back there, and take three steps forward. Okay, now, I want you to pick up that first book that's sitting right there in front of you. Do you see anything? Pick up the second one, put that one down, and put the second one on top of it. Do you see anything yet? Pick it up, and let's see what you got. No, let's pick up one more book then. Now do you see something? Is it laying there next to where those books were? Is there a bag there? Ah, there we go, we found it. All right, come on over here. All right, so, but the problem is you have to earn these twice. So you can have a seat. Okay, you have to earn these twice, okay. Who would like to be the follower this time? All right, hop up over there. Actually, you stay here. Okay? All right? And I'm going to pick another leader today. Who wants to be the other leader? Okay, you be the other leader. Okay? All right. And come on over here with me. Everybody else close their eyes. Okay, because I'm going to hide these again. And you and I are going to watch. All right, who wants to be the person to find it? All right, come on. All right, stay right there. Okay, so listen for your directions, and we're going to get you to where you're supposed to go, okay? You ready? We're going to start. One, two, three, go. Stay sitting. Okay, no, stay sitting. No, stay sitting. Okay, well, go ahead and stand up. Okay, come towards me. Come towards me. It's this way. Take three steps this way. Take three steps this way. No, you're going the wrong way. Take three steps this way. Come on, this way. Ah, okay, so let's stop right there. How are you feeling? Kind of mixed up? Yeah, all right. Thank you. Come on back. Let's sit down for a minute and talk. All right, let me tell you, first of all, where they were. I put them in there, okay? All right. But what happened there? Why did he get mixed up? Why was I doing that? Well, the reason I was doing that is because it's in our gospel lesson today. It says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. Well, that's kind of like the world is going. We hear we need to come to church. We want to listen to God, but there's so many other things out there that want to call us and get us to go the other way, get us to do different things. Okay? And so that's kind of what was happening here. One was saying one way, one was saying the other. But the one thing that we want to do is always follow our master's choice, our master's voice. And that's God's and his love and Jesus and the Holy Spirit guiding and directing us. Okay? Matter of fact, you'd be amazed how our service fits together. The hymn after the sermon I want you to listen to, it says, guide me, ever great Redeemer. Think about that. Who's your guide? And then over here, our other one that we sang before we did the lessons, listen to this. The light of truth to us display and to make us know and choose your way. That's why we come here, to learn whose way we're supposed to follow, to hear the voice that we need to hear. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, there's plenty of voices out there calling for us, trying to send us this way and that. But we know that your voice is the one that directs us and guides us the right way. Help us to open our hearts and minds to that word. Help us to come here to learn that word so that we know the correct way to go. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Thank you. Have a good day and have a good fall.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If I were to ask you, what is your favorite parable of Jesus? Chances are you would not have picked the one that I read this morning. It is confusing. It doesn't sound right. It's hard to understand. And here it sounds like Jesus is praying or praising a person who is dishonest. So what's going on here? What's also interesting about this is that it comes right after probably one of your most favorite parables, or the ones that you know the most, and that is of the prodigal son. The end of chapter 15 is the parable of the prodigal son. The beginning of chapter 16 is this parable that we read this morning. So what's going on here in this parable? It starts out with a rich man. He has a lot of wealth, but then he has people working for him, or he has servants for him, and one is a manager. But word gets back to this rich man that the manager is cheating him. He's skimming off the top. He's cooking the books. And so he confronts his manager and says, there will be an accounting. Bring your books back to me so I can see what's going on. And the manager knows he's been caught. But the thing about this manager is he's one of those kind of people that can get by with just about anything. You know those kind of people. It's like the kid who's always causing a ruckus out on the playground. And when he gets caught or when he gets pulled, yanked aside, he gets by with it. He's so charming and cute and can just talk his way out of anything. Or it's that lady who drives 90 miles an hour down the highway and she gets pulled over for a ticket, and she's able to charm her way out of actually getting a ticket. Or it's the politician who is corrupt, but yet can still speak and is so charismatic that people continue to vote for him. This manager is like one of those folks that can get by with just about anything. Because he comes up with a plan. What am I going to do? I'm going to get fired. There's no way to work this out. But he does come up with a plan, and it is a shrewd plan. And so what he does is he goes to all those who owe his master money. He goes to them and says, "How much do you owe?" And he says, "Strike it out. Put a lower number down there. Put 50. Put 80 rather than 100. Scratch it out, and I'll change my books then too, so that these two books match, and so that there's no evidence that I've been cheating my master." And you get the debtors then too. They're happy because they don't owe as much then. And so it goes like that through all the debtors. So what has the manager actually done? He has changed the books on those who owe money, and he changes the books on his master. What that does is it makes the debtors happy, so that when he is fired, he can go back and he can collect on those favors. Or if they don't want to be dishonest in that way, if they don't like this manager and won't receive him or won't help him, he can blackmail them. And so they can be charged. They can be imprisoned. They would have to pay back all that plus interest, maybe with also other restitution as well then too. So he's got them cornered. But he also corners then the owner. Because if the owner goes back and says to his debtors, "I want you to pay the full amount," it's going to make his debtors angry as well then too. And he loses business. And so this crafty manager, this shrewd manager, is able to take both ends and save himself. Now, at the end of the parable, we don't know exactly what happens to this man, whether he is imprisoned or whether he is kept employed or whether he himself is sold off into slavery. We don't know what happens to him, but he is commended for his shrewdness. What's confusing about this is it sounds like Jesus, in telling this parable, is commending the dishonesty of this manager. But instead, he's actually commending the shrewdness. Because Jesus says, "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light." So what is Jesus saying here? All right, look at the manager again. He is sharp. He is dishonest, but he is sharp. And he is single-minded in what he's going to do. He's going to save himself. That is his mission in life, is to save himself so that once he is fired, he can still have a life and he can still live it with pleasure. So he's on a mission to save himself. He comes up with a plan that would do that, that would save him. And then he pays attention to the details of what it takes to follow through with that plan, to cook the books of not only the creditors or the debtors, but rather also too to cook the books of his own master. He follows those details, and then he follows through with the plan. He goes through with it. Single-mindedness. This is what he's going to do. He's going to follow through with it. And it is shrewd. And so Jesus is saying, in that same respect, that we too should be single-minded in what we do, and that is to love God. To love God, to serve God, to be faithful disciples of God, to follow what God has for us, to be single-minded in everything that we do, because that is where life is. For this dishonest manager, life was in trying to make more money, trying to find friends, trying to either blackmail or to accumulate favors from other people so that he could live. We as Christians are called to follow Christ. And anything and everything that we do, we should be single-minded in that. We should be as shrewd in our faith as this dishonest manager was in stealing from his rich employer. We should be shrewd. We should pay attention to details. We should look for opportunities. Anytime there's any kind of opportunity to do ministry, that's what we should be focused on, is doing that ministry. If somebody is in need, to help somebody in need. If you're called into positions of leadership, to do that job of leadership, even though it may be risky, it may be scary to do so, even though you may not feel qualified. But to see those opportunities, to look for those opportunities, to come up with ideas. How should we participate in the kingdom of God? How best can I use my gifts? This manager, he had the skills. He had people skills. He had skills of thinking. He had accounting skills. And he used them for his own purposes. God gives each and every one of us skills and gifts to use, but we are to use them for the purposes of God. Terry had an interesting children's sermon up here, and it comes then too from this gospel reading. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve yourself and serve God at the same time. And so God calls us. He speaks to us. We hear a lot of voices throughout the world, but God continues to speak to us. And again, if we are shrewd, if we actually understand what is best for us, that is in following the voice of God and knowing what God is telling us to do, to listen to God, to tune out everything else, listen to God. What is God calling us to do? How can we use what God is calling us to do and actually do it? We have the skills to do it because God gives us those skills. And so we need to be shrewd in our faith in that sense of doing it. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I don't know exactly what happened to this manager. There's probably a lot of options to hear. Whether the rich owner recognized these gifts, he did recognize the gifts, but what did he do with it? Did he sit on top of him and make sure that he became honest because he is evidently a good manager or shrewd enough manager to be able to accumulate money? Or did the wealthy man fire the manager, or did he have him imprisoned, thrown away? Because in that day and time then too, you could imprison somebody for debt until they paid that debt off. And we think about that a little bit. I mentioned earlier that this parable follows the parable of the prodigal son. And as you know, that prodigal son story is all about forgiveness. The son who goes away, spends all his inheritance, comes back to his father asking for forgiveness. His father grants it with joy. For us, God calls us to be shrewd, to be devoted, to be single-minded in our faith. But we don't always do that. Every one of us falls short. And so what do? We are caught. Because the rich man had said, bring the books. There will be an accounting of everything that you have done. For us as well then too, there will be an accounting. But what does God do with that? He makes it right once again, because he sent his son into the world to take our punishment for those sins, for the shortcomings, for that greediness, for that following another master even. He sends his son into the world to take our guilt upon himself, and he dies on the cross and he rises again. It's that whole story of forgiveness that comes in. And so even though we fall short, even though we are not single-minded all the time in what we're doing as far as following Christ, God still gives us that option of forgiveness. He grants us that grace so that we may be saved. And if we realize that, if we take it to heart, that whole idea of being shrewd comes much easier. That idea of being faithful and single-mindedness in following God becomes a part of who we are. It becomes ourselves. It becomes our identity. That we are Christians. We are followers and disciples of Christ. And so Christ calls us. He calls us to come and follow him and to be shrewd in our ministry. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.